This is the Green Valley News for Monday, December 8th. Mark DeGroft with you. A contractor hired by Community Water Company of Green Valley has begun work on a new well in a residential area on South Abrego between Esperanza Boulevard and Continental Drive. We're getting ready to kick it off tomorrow, and Chinas Thomas, the project's manager with Lane Christensen Company Construction, said on Friday morning. The company is drilling a replacement well at 304 South Abrego Drive for Community Water Company of Green Valley at a cost of about $1.7 million, said Arturo Gobaldon, who is the community water president and the general manager. Workers for Lane, a granite company, will at what times be working around the clock in the middle of a residential neighborhood, Gobaldon said, adding that the urgent project was expected to be completed and operational by May 1st. That's ahead of the summer peak water usage season. Gobaldon apologizes to residents around the work site, calling it a massive inconvenience. This is for the entire community, and there is not much of a choice, he said, of the fourth well in the water system that serves 9 square miles and about 25,000 customers. Our big concern is we need to do the water. We very much regret all of the impact this has on the neighbors in that area because some of the work will be 24/7. The project with access inside a cul-de-sac should not disrupt traffic on Abrego. Conducting the project now during the low water use period ensures enough water is available during the highest use summer period, Gobaldon said. The existing well shaft of more than 25 years has been inoperable since April when a hole in the well bottom was discovered and the well began to pump sand, he said. The deeper replacement project will install a well that produces 1,000 gallons a minute like the previous one. Capital expenses were reduced by using the capitals in the previous well's location with existing conditions and an arsenic filtration system, Gobaldon said. Over the past 2 years, the staff at the UPS store in Green Valley has been instrumental in stopping scammers from walking off with nearly $200,000. To recognize them for their efforts, Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos presented store manager Angie Kaufman, supervisor Shayla Levesque, and Jalen Meza, and senior staff member Emma George with Sheriff's Citizens Medals on Friday during the 40th annual PCSD Award ceremony. The women were nominated for the award by the Pima County Sheriff's Department Fraud Unit. In every instance, a customer came to the store wanting to ship something. The woman became suspicious, and upon further investigation, it became clear that they had been duped into trying to ship money or other items to the bad guys. Most recently, the women stopped an older woman from shipping $20,000 worth of iPhones she had purchased as part of a romance scam. Detective Michael Wilson said that the ladies have probably stopped countless other potential victims from being scammed, but those cases went unreported. They're on the front lines, really, of these types of scams. Unfortunately, in Green Valley, packages remain the main way that victims send money to these scammers, Wilson said. We could not do what we do without their help. After 5 years of working at the store, Kaufman said she and Levescu have learned to spot potential victims when they come into the store, and they've passed on their knowledge to the colleagues with the help of Wilson, who frequently drops by with brochures, flyers, and intel on the latest scams that may be going around. Once fraud becomes a big thing, especially in Green Valley, we just kind of learn what to listen for and what to look for, Kaufman said. We pick up on signs like someone will come in with a super urgency and tell me that they are going to spend $250 to overnight some towels. Now, you can go to the dollar store and buy a towel if you need to. You don't need to spend $250, Levescu said. She said once more a man had come in with a shoebox covered in duct tape asking for her to put it into another box to ship. He told her that it was an urgent matter. Inside the box, she found several thousands of dollars wrapped in bags and tape. There were so many $100 bills, we covered the whole entire backside of our table, Levescu said. They've seen people cut out the insides of books to shove money inside, and they've seen people sleep $100 bills between every other page. In addition to becoming suspicious over urgent shipment requests, the women said red flags also go up when people come in talking or texting on their phones. One potential victim was so grateful for Kaufman stopping her, she dropped by with a $50 gift card, she said. Others haven't wanted to believe that they were being scammed until the sheriff's department actually showed up. The woman who had purchased all of the iPhones was convinced that the person on the other end of the phone telling her to buy and ship the phones was her husband, Levescu said. I would tell her, I don't think this is something that your husband would have you do, Levescu said. Her reaction was, okay, maybe I'll go try these to a different store and see if they'll ship it there. And after she left the store, Levescu called Wilson, who tracked the women down using a copy of the ID UPS requires to ship packages, a policy partially created to stop such scams. For a while, scammers had been telling their victims to ship items using false names and return addresses, she explained. All of the potential victims were targeted because they are vulnerable and many are made to feel scared, Kaufman said. The scammers use their friends, they use their family, they use their financial situation to bring fear into them, and it makes them think, if I don't do this, something's going to happen to my husband, something's going to happen to my wife, my friends, etc., Kaufman said. She's had customers who have been told to withdraw and ship money by scammers who led them to believe their bank accounts weren't safe and they would keep their money safe for them, she said. It's frightening to know that scammers now have the ability to clone phone numbers so they can literally make people think it truly is the bank calling them to say that their bank has been hacked, Levescu said. Councilwoman Adelita Grijalva said she was pepper sprayed on Friday during an ICE action at a Tucson restaurant as agents served 16 warrants across southern Arizona. Grijalva was interviewed on the Buckmaster Show radio program shortly after the incident at Taco Hero on Grand Avenue, with raised blotchy red spots on her skin. ICE is a lawless agency under this administration, operating with no transparency, no accountability, and open disregard for basic due process. No family in our community should live in fear, and I will not rest until we get clear answers and accountability. It was just very scary, she told Bill Buckmaster and the Green Valley News editor Dan Shearer, who were conducting the interview. Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin said that two law enforcement officers were seriously injured at the scene, but didn't offer any details. Further reports from the agency did not mention any injuries. She also disputed Grijalva's account. ICE spokesman Fernando Burgos confirmed special agents and officers from ICE Homeland Security Investigations, IRS Criminal Investigation, and other federal partners said that the action was part of a years-long investigation into immigration and tax violations. He said later on Friday that 46 illegal immigrants from Mexico were arrested during the Southern Arizona operation. The Taco Hero location in Green Valley was closed on Friday. A handwritten sign on the door read, "We are closed, sick for today, thanks, Taco Hero." A voicemail at the restaurant indicated nobody could take the call. Grijalva, whose district includes part of Suarita and Green Valley, said she became aware of the ICE action as she headed to the restaurant for lunch with her staff. She described a chaotic scene with 40 to 50 agents and even more protesters surrounding the building, with all involved screaming and yelling at each other. She said it appeared protesters blocked in the agents with vehicles, a strategy Grijalva said has been used across the country as protesters demand the release of those that have been detained. Grijalva said she identified herself as a member of Congress to the agents, whom she described as masked and very aggressive to everybody. Grijalva added she was pushed around. She asked if anybody there had been detained and was told no. "You guys need to calm down and get out," Grijalva yelled as she approached agents in video from the restaurant as the scene grew chaotic. Reporter Paul Ingram with the Tucson Sentinel stepped between ICE agents and Grijalva as they deployed pepper spray, taking a full blast in the face, his editor Dylan Smith said. Grijalva was hit on the forehead and under her chin. Her eye began to swell shut during the Buckmaster interview. If that's the way they're going to treat me, how are they going to treat anybody else? She asked during the interview. Grijalva said that agents were also firing non-lethal rounds, and video footage shows the Taco Hero crowd engulfed in tear gas, with some of those rounds landing near her feet. I think they weren't expecting that type of community organization at all, Grijalva said, noting that Barrio Hollywood, where the action took place, is a tight-knit community. Tucson Mayor Regina Romero and Vice Mayor Lane Santa Cruz decried the action in a joint statement. Today, federal officers conducted a raid in Tucson that rapidly escalated into violence against the public, the statement read in part. We share the fears in our community created by Trump's immoral and inhumane immigration policies. Their disproportionate use of force, smoke grenades, and pepper balls against the public, including our own representative, Adelita Grijalva, is not justified and cannot be tolerated. McGoffin said that Grijalva's story didn't play out as she described. If her claims were true, this would be a medical marvel, she said in an emailed statement to The Independent, a British media outlet, but they're not true. She was not pepper sprayed. Grijalva was in the vicinity of somebody who was pepper sprayed as they were obstructing and assaulting law enforcement, McLaughlin told the outlet. McLaughlin said that two law enforcement officers were seriously injured by this mob that Representative Adelita Grijalva joined. Presenting oneself as a member of Congress does not give you the right to obstruct law enforcement, McLaughlin told The Independent. There was no further information available on injured law enforcement agencies. It's 18 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. The attorneys for the Green Valley Domestic Water Improvement District have asked a Pima County Superior Court judge to enter a default judgment against an Amato woman that was accused of embezzling at least $3.35 million from the district over a 13-year period. According to court documents that were filed on November 13th, neither Laura Burrell nor her husband, Armando Burrell Jr., have responded to the initial lawsuit that was filed against them in July, or the amended lawsuit filed in October. As a result, the attorneys have asked Judge Greg Sackle for the default judgment. According to the original lawsuit, filed by the Tucson law firm of Farhang and Medcoff, Burrell misappropriated at least $2.1 million from 2016 through 2024, while she was the district's business operations supervisor. She had been hired by the district in May of 2003. However, when the law firm amended their lawsuit in October, they alleged that Burrell actually misappropriated at least $3.35 million from 2012 through 2025. No criminal charges have been filed in the case, which remains under investigation. It was Burrell's job to pay the district's monthly sales taxes, create investment accounts with the local Arizona government investment pool in January of 2023, and to make deposits into the investment pool accounts. According to the lawsuit, Burrell didn't pay those sales taxes and didn't set up the investment accounts. Moreover, the lawsuit alleges Burrell manipulated the district's accounting software to make it appear as though the Arizona Department of Revenue was receiving the sales tax payments. She also falsified statements to show deposits into the non-existent investment accounts, the lawsuit stated. For example, Burrell falsified a December 2024 statement from the Arizona State Treasurer that purported to show the balance in one of the district's investment pool accounts, the lawsuit stated. Burrell forged then-district manager Dara Duffy's signature and then made checks out to herself, her marital community, and or to other unknown people using the sales tax money and money that was intended for the investment accounts that she was supposed to have set up, the lawsuit stated. According to the amended lawsuit, Burrell was also manipulated the district software to make it appear as though payments were made to vendors or to the Department of Revenue 406 times from April of 2018 through June of 2025, when the money was actually being diverted into her personal accounts. Duffy is no longer employed by the district. The district has not commented on her departure. By not paying the sales taxes, the district now has a tax liability of at least $1.4 million, the amended lawsuit stated. And in addition, the district lost out on at least $225,000 in interest because the investment funds were diverted. Burrell's scheme came to light when Duffy asked Burrell for the account numbers for the district's long-term investment accounts on June 27th. And was provided false account numbers, the lawsuit stated. When Burrell met with Duffy on July 3rd, she confessed, the lawsuit stated. She also told Duffy all of the money is gone. There is no account anywhere with the money in it. After investigating, district officials called the Pima County Sheriff's Department to report Burrell. According to the lawsuit, Burrell's husband was named in the lawsuit for purposes of collecting from the Burrell marital community, although it's unknown whether he knew or was involved in his wife's alleged scheme. The district's lawyers wrote that they suspect Burrell used the money to support herself and her husband, to pay for mortgages on two properties she owns, and to accumulate assets. The amended lawsuit asks that a judge enter a $3.35 million judgment against the Burrells, and disgorge from defendants all ill-gotten gains and fruits, and grant a restraining order that would prevent the Burrells from selling or transferring any of their assets. The amended lawsuit also wants the judge to award the district treble damages of no less than $10 million. The plaintiffs had originally asked for $6.3 million in treble damages. Treble damages are designed to provide additional compensation to plaintiffs because the defendant's actions are considered particularly egregious. They are capped at three times compensatory or actual damages. The district is also seeking punitive damage because, the lawyers allege, Burrell's conduct was gross, wanton, malicious, oppressive, and performed with spite, ill will, and reckless indifference to the interests of the Green Valley, Arizona community. Her unlawful conduct evinces an evil hand guided by an evil mind. Green Valley residents interested in learning the do's and don'ts of maintaining private detention basins and channels within their neighborhoods got to spend 90 minutes on Thursday with representatives of the Pima County Regional Flood Control District. Luke Heinzelman, Division Operations Manager, and Camille Hall, Community Engagement Manager, said that the county checks on drainage areas that fall under their jurisdiction every 2 years. But they told the crowd that if they ever have any concerns about their arroyos or other drainage areas, and they're not sure whose responsibility they are, the best course of action is to contact the sponsors of Thursday's forum, the Green Valley Council. The GVC will reach out to Regional Flood Control so they can figure out who's responsible for maintaining that area, research the maintenance history, determine if there are restrictions to maintaining it, and determine if the flow of water is in danger of being impeded. There are several areas of riparian habitat strictly regulated in the county because they prevent erosion, they protect water quality, provide shade and wildlife habitat, increase groundwater recharge, and reduce the urban heat island effect, Heinzelman said. Hall and Heinzelman shared photos of areas residents have expressed concern about and spoke about what actions the county did or didn't take based on their findings. One photo showed a tree that had been trimmed back by residents who were concerned about the possibility of materials inhibiting the flow of water through the channel. The county determined the channel was wide and the neighbors had no reason to be concerned about water getting through. However, they shouldn't have done any trimming, Heinzelman said. This is absolutely not how we would leave it if we were toppling a tree like that, because it causes a lot more concerns and issues down the road. One of our big things is we ask that if it's not your property, please don't trim it. Whether it's on our property or HOA property, you should always find out who that property owner is and get permission or find out what can be done when we show up to something like this, he said. Heinzelman predicted that the branches on the tree and the tree itself will become fire hazards when they die, and while some of the neighbors might think leaving the trimmings would create an eyesore, the county wouldn't have left it in piles to become a new habitat, he said. He told the group that Flood Control District is especially concerned about invasive species like stinknet and buffel grass because they spread so much and are a fire hazard. If you see invasive, it's definitely important to either report it or find the proper treatment plan for those so they can be taken care of, Hall said. But of course, not all that vegetation is bad. A lot of vegetation along our washes have really positive impacts. They can help control erosion. So if a flooding event does come through, we won't see as much erosion on the sides of the banks there. It can be a great help to protect adjacent property or mitigate undercutting. It's also habitat for riparian species and can help to slow the velocity of flow, she said. If you're to just have a bare, wide-open channel, there's nothing to kind of slow down that water. It will just continue to pick up speed, but with the plants in place there, it helps to slow it down and then mitigate some of that danger, she said. The pair also told the group where they can find maps and online brochures on such things as maintenance guidelines. When they call in concerns or complaints about drainage areas, it's helpful for staff to have parcel numbers, Hall said. You can click around on the parcels to see who owns it. One that will kind of help you guys understand where that concern will be mapped to. We always ask that you start with the Green Valley Council. They're kind of our great partner down here, but they're a first line of triage for us, right? Henselman said. They kind of help steer the HOAs back to their HOA community if it's an HOA-owned parcel. They have a little bit more understanding of where the jurisdictional lines run, and if they have questions at that point or they're not sure, then they'll reach out to us. The residents also heard from David Kruger Duncan, who was the maintenance director for Canoa Hills Townhomes, when the HOA spent about $200,000 to replace two large washes that had been destroyed by years of monsoons. They also had to fix 20 others. All had to be made too thin by developers, he said. Pima County, he said, was a tremendous help during the project. Richard Logan and his mom, Dina, love the beef stroganoff and the lasagna roll-ups, but what they really love is a salad bar because of how many choices there are. Nope, the Logans weren't discussing the Golden Corral or any other restaurant on Tuesday. They were praising the senior lunch program at La Posada Community Center. For a suggested donation of $3, seniors from all over Green Valley can dine on tasty fare, socialize with friends, or meet new friends from 11 o'clock a.m. to 12:30 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. A salad bar is also offered on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The Logans moved to Green Valley from Oklahoma in July and have been dining at La Posada 3 days a week ever since. It's excellent. They do an exceptional job, and the volunteers are all welcoming, kind, and hardworking, Richard Logan said. Without the program, he said his mom would probably find herself alone and bored. I'm not one to socialize, he is, but it's good for me to be out and about, Dina Logan said. Charlotte Lawton, who splits her time between Maine and Green Valley, said she's amazed at the turnout both times she's dropped by there for lunch. Her friend, Susan West, says she's helped similar programs at home in Wisconsin and knows how valuable they are not only because of the food, but for the companionship as well. This is an excellent program. When we walked in, they came up to us and greeted us, West said. The people in Green Valley should feel grateful because the programs she's helped out have been steadily cut back and are no longer available 5 days a week, West said. For some people, the lunch they receive through the program may be their only meal of the day, said Carlos Salcido, who is the program coordinator. For some people, it's a great place to eat and a social club gathering place, but others come here because of their finances or because they're by themselves and they don't want to cook for themselves, Salcido said. About 25 to 35 people partake every day, and the food that is prepared in Tucson by Caridad Community Kitchen, Salcido said. The menus come out at the end of every month at laposadagreenvalley.org. Other favorites include meatloaf, Salisbury steak, and their albondigas, or meatball soup, she said. This is just a wonderful place to eat a meal and make new friends, Salcido said. I'll continue now with some of the festivities going on in our community. Beginning on December 11th, the Christmas Story. In 1940s, a young boy named Ralphie Parker attempts to convince his parents, teacher, and Santa Claus that a Red Ryder range 200-shot BB gun really is the perfect Christmas gift. It's showing at the Fox 3-8er at 17 West Congress Street in Tucson, showing at 7 o'clock p.m. On December 12th, it's the 56th annual 4th Avenue Winter Street Fair at 315 North 4th Avenue. For information, 4thavenue.org. And the Nativity Drive-Thru Green Valley Baptist Church takes us through the life of Christ in this parking lot event. Non-perishable food donations will be taken for the local food banks, and the church is located at 1111 North La Quinata Drive in Green Valley. The Nutcracker by the Suarita Dance Center features a classic holiday favorite, 7 p.m. and on December 13th at 2 p.m. at the Suarita District Auditorium. That's at 350 West Suarita Road in Suarita. You can call 520-232-3753 for more information. Then there's the True Concord Voices and Orchestra at St. Francis in the Valley Episcopal Church at 6000 South La Quinata Drive in Green Valley, 7 o'clock p.m. on the 13th. Tickets online at www.trueconcord.org. And on December 13th, it's the 76th Winter Haven Festival of Lights. You can walk through the lights in Tucson's Winter Haven neighborhood or take a guided bike tea or a silent disco walk. Food that you can take a donation for the Community Food Bank. It's a country club in Fort Lowell Roads. For more information, winterhavenfestival.org. And that will take care of the Green Valley News reading for this Monday. Mark DeGroft with you. Thanks for joining me. I'll be back on Wednesday. Until then, take care.